Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Words from our opening hymn once more. Jesus came, the heavens adoring, came with peace from realms on high. Jesus came to win redemption, lowly came on earth to die. These words tell the story of Jesus' advent. Advent being the Latin term that means coming, to win redemption. In Adam, all mankind has sinned. From the earliest moments of our lives, the intentions of the thoughts of our hearts has been only evil continually, God declares in Genesis 6. Mankind definitely has need of a Savior. Our last communion hymn for today will state this of Jesus. Then stepped forth the Lord of all from his pure and kingly hall, God of God, yet fully man. His heroic course began. For you are the Father's Son, who in flesh the victory won. By your mighty power, make whole all our ills of flesh and soul. Jesus has come to be our hero. He has come to rescue us from the villains of sin, death, the devil, and our own sinful nature. This need for saving began with Adam and Eve. God had created them perfectly, majestically, the crown, the jewel of his crown. And he in no way ever intended for them to sin. He did not want them to suffer in any way and thus provided for them all that they needed. And yet he wanted them to trust in him, to cling to him alone, and to willingly love him. The one command he gave them was not given to tempt them into sin, but rather to give them a way to show their love for him by obeying his word. We can only speculate as to what would have happened if Adam and Eve had never sinned. Many pages have been written and breaths expelled exploring this idea. But what remains true is that God did not wish for mankind to live in sin or to ever die. Sin ruined that. God, in his perfect justice and fairness as the righteous God, must punish sin. Romans 6:23 says it, the wages of sin is death. That is what God warned in Genesis 2 when he put Adam and Eve in the garden. You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. The tree itself was not deadly. Violation of God's command is. That sin brought death to Adam and Eve as their eyes were opened to their sinful shame. Brought death to their descendants as well. Every last one of us here today. Sin continues to destroy, to wreak havoc in our lives each and every day. Every sin we commit goes against God's perfection. His desire for all things. It drives us farther and farther away from his presence. Eternal life in such a broken condition would be tragic. Just and eternal punishment is what our sin deserves, every little one of them. Even so, God Almighty has said, Ezekiel 18, I have no pleasure in the death of anyone. For God is the God of the living. He wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, that is, the knowledge of His only begotten Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus. And because God is holy, because He is perfect, because He is good, He cannot forever dwell in the presence of the unholy, the imperfect, the wicked. In order for mankind, then, to live forevermore in His kingdom as God had intended, there must be a remedy for sin, for its companion, death. Somehow, some way, mankind must be restored once more to its original state. For man and woman to live forever as God intended, their sin, their corruption must be completely removed, eradicated. Deep down, I think it's fairly safe to say that most of mankind wants that outcome, the ending of all evil. For I think everyone knows deep down what evil truly is. For all know their sins, they know their wickedness, they know their guilt, they know their shame. And truly, guilt and shame can never be fully removed, never tucked far enough back in the mind to be forgotten completely. Guilt and shame cannot be dulled and fought against forever. If people would only stop and think about it, they could not imagine, nor would they ever desire of this world to continue on in this way forever. Story after story is told in writing, in film, of the eventual destruction of this world. These stories, though, expect, especially recently, our own carelessness of the care of this world, that will one day ruin us all. And while it is not likely that our actions could destroy an entire planet, it is true that this world will not continue on like this forever. And it is mankind's sinfulness that will be its final undoing. But even the destruction that comes will be so that a new heavens and a new earth can take its place, shall arise, and last forever. That is truly the end game, the conclusion of it all. That is the moment in history that the earth groans for, longs for. The Jews expected the end of the world would come, that there would be a resurrection of the dead on the last day. Martha confesses this to Jesus before He raises her brother from the dead. All of history is leading up to that final moment of this created realm when judgment will occur and this world will be baptized in fire. All mankind on that day should receive the verdict from God, the perfect judge, that all are sentenced to death, to be away from Him forever. What was not so expected was God's plan to intervene, God's plan to save mankind from sin and from death. As mentioned before, in order for mankind to be saved from this coming destruction, we have to be made whole once more. Sin and unrighteousness must be expelled from the darkness of our flesh. But only God could ever work such a miracle. Only God Almighty could undo the curse of sin. But how? Once more, and as before, it is by the power of His Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God, God's only Son, became man to live for us. He kept God's every command perfectly, No intentions of the thoughts of his heart were evil ever. Every thought, every word, every deed of Jesus, the Word made flesh, was good, was right, was salutary, truly heroic. Living that life in our place was not just payment to God for our sinfulness. That perfect life of Jesus then must be offered up as a sacrifice to our God for our sin. Jesus' death on the cross then is that perfect sacrifice, as he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All of our offerings to God have been tainted with sin, thus are a displeasing stench before him. But Jesus is once and for all the perfect offering, an aroma truly pleasing to our good and our gracious God. For in Jesus, all atonement for sin has been made. Every sin stands fully paid for. Every debt owed to God is canceled by Jesus' blood. God the Father then is fully pleased with the work of his Son, and thus everything offered by us in faith in Jesus is pleasing in his sight. And as a result, the Father has promised to see now all who believe in Jesus as truly righteous in his sight. In holy baptism, God Almighty sees you now wearing the robe of Christ's righteousness, covers you completely, without fail. It is your wedding garment that gets you into the great wedding feast, as the Scriptures proclaim. You thus dine and sup on a token of that feast in the Lord's dear supper, done in remembrance of Jesus to keep your appetite whetted for the great day still to come. And come it will, when all that we know as corrupt and evil will come to an end. Jesus will come again in great glory to judge the living and the dead. And you, his saints, his holy ones, will be judged innocent to live forever thus in God's great kingdom forever because of what Jesus has done for you. Now is the time, the season of Advent, the season of preparation. You prepare for Christ's coming. You repent. You are baptized. You receive the Lord's Supper. You are forgiven. Thus, you are ready. Every eye shall now behold him, robed in glorious majesty. Those who set at naught and sold him, pierced and nailed him to the tree, deeply wailing, deeply wailing, deeply wailing, shall their true Messiah see. Those dear tokens of his passion still his dazzling body bears, cause of endless exultation to his ransomed worshipers. With what rapture, with what rapture, with what rapture gaze we on those glorious scars. To Christ alone be all glory, honor, and praise now and forever, for bearing those scars for us, for being our Savior from sin. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus, till his grand return on the last day. Amen.